rough week with the moving and all that transpired, and we still have to move. Have you ever tried to take three houses and put it into one? That's the dilemma that we find ourselves in right now. We've downsized three times now, and every time you downsize, you bring your stuff, you store it somewhere, and it ends up in storage for many years. I'd ask you to pray for Audrey. She's having a hard time. Her legs are terribly swollen, both of them, and we believe it might be her kidneys. She's got major problems with her kidney, and if you could pray for her, we would appreciate that very much. I know I've been asked for at least a month now to share a message, and I had prepared a message, and I said, Lord, this is not what you want me to preach on. So we started all over again yesterday, and God gave me a message. And I trust that, well, some of you probably would have heard the message. You know, it's been 7 years since I've had an opportunity to speak. And I'm a little rusty, I find. And I'm a little older. And as you get older, you kind of have a different mind going. But anyways, I'm sure you're going to get the message. The title, Are You What You Should Be? What a thought-provoking question that is. Can you imagine yourself right now examining yourself and say to yourself, am I what I should be for the glory of God? Am I the kind of person that God can use and teach some more, get to learn more about God's will and maturing in our Christian life? One of the things that I've discovered in my Christian life since 1971, I came to know Jesus on August 25th. At 9:30, it was a Friday night. And ever since then, I've had the thought that if God can save me in the condition that I was in, how about my going and telling other people that have the same condition I have or had? And that's what I did. I didn't know very much. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know anything. Well, one thing I did know is that once I was lost and now I'm saved, born again by the Spirit of God. And someone else needs to hear it. And I've never lost that sight or that thought. People need the Lord. That's a song, isn't it? People need the Lord. And here we are, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, relying on Him in the power of His Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to use us to His will and to bring the gospel message to other people. It ought to be for us a joy. But a lot of people, it's not a joy, it's a scary thought. And even scary thoughts can be overcome if we tackle them properly. I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 10. Well, chapter 10, verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Well, I think it ought to be our prayer too. is that there are many people around us that need to be saved. Salvation needs to come to their doorstep and challenge them to trust Jesus. But we'll begin reading at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, and your mouth and your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. From with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him or on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like the verse 14, who then shall they call upon him? And whom shall and whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're a preacher. You're a preacher. You don't have to have a degree to be called a preacher, because you are sharing Jesus Christ with a world that is lost and are hellbound. One of the things that I was challenged with many years ago was make a list of people that you know could use a message on evangelism, helping them to understand what it is to be saved. And so I did that. And I had a list this long. It was people from work, people in the family, even people in the church, because there are people sometimes that have failed to really recognize their lostness and have not responded. And there's all sorts of people around us, even the cashier. When you go to the store, you develop a relationship with a cashier, and first thing you know is you can start asking questions. You can provoke answers. You can work at wanting to save, or not to save, but to share the gospel that brings salvation. In my moving this week, we've had a lot of stuff for sale. Our dining room set, our living room set, all kinds of stuff. And we had two people come from Cameroon. And praise God, I had an opportunity to say something for the Lord. And they were very polite, as they are. I believe they were polite people, and accepted the witness. And then I had two Iranians that I passed on to our brother, Ishmael and Sam. Now, I got them mixed up at one time. I think Ishmael is not saved, and the other guy is probably saved. I'm not sure. But anyways, I had an opportunity to share the gospel with both of these fellows. They took a break, and I sat them down. They came to clean up our sofa, and I sat them down, and we started talking. And because I had an interest in knowing that they were Iranians and our brother and sister come from Iran. And so I'm not sure what's going on with them, with Cyrus, but I trust that they're going to take notice that Jesus is very much alive and desires to touch their hearts. If you know that you're going to encounter someone, if you have prayed, or at least if you have someone that has said to you, would you come over and talk with me, or whatever the case might be, but you know that ultimately you're going to share the gospel, I would encourage you to prepare yourself for that. Not just go blatantly to visit someone, but that you would prepare yourself first. Preparing your heart. Pray. God, prepare me. God, lead me. God, use me. And I believe that God will honor your prayer by using you in a mighty way. What a privilege we have of representing Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. Does that say something to your heart? That you are going to be, you're speaking of the one who has transformed your whole life and is in the ministry of transformation of anyone who comes to him. The other thing that I would encourage you to do is phone one or two or three people that you know that are believers and say, look, I'm going to visit with Harry this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Would you pray for me? Pray for him. Pray that somehow God would have his way with his heart. We're not in this alone. We're not Superman. We're not the ones that call the shots. We need to have the Holy Spirit controlling and empowering us at all times. The other thing that you should perhaps do is read the Word. Take a passage of the Word that would encourage you, that might even be used in your conversation. Make sure that you even share your how you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The thing that we need to realize is that the Holy Spirit must have total access to our lives. So you need to also examine yourself. Call upon God to help you to understand what condition you're in. And when I came to know Jesus, Campus Crusade for Christ was a dominant evangelical outreach group. They did a lot of work on campus, universities, and now they're called Power to Change. And one of the things they helped me to understand is this area of spiritual breathing. That is, to exhale the impure, that is, the sin in my life, to really deal with this and to inhale the pure. So it's spiritual breathing is what they call it. And I still believe in doing this. I still believe in it. I take time from time to time when I know that I need to be dealt with by God. I take time to allow God to examine me. There are verses in the Bible that are well known to us. we often skip over them. And one of them is Matthew 28. Because we know it so well, because it's familiar, because we've heard it preached, I think, maybe in the last 7 or 8 months, it probably was mentioned a half a dozen times by various preachers. And it says here, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Well, we have a command. We have a command of God. Go therefore. And that command, to me, is applicable the day that we come to know Jesus Christ. And we ought to take this seriously. God desires to use us, human beings, those that are saved by his grace and mercy, to bring that message to others and to see them respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God realizes that your perception of sharing Christ is not natural for most believers. So he made us promises. And Ephesians 2:10 is one of those. We don't have to try to manipulate people in believing in Jesus Christ. We simply share what God has given us, and especially our own personal testimony. Ephesians 2:10, I'll just turn to that for a second. I'm glad that that verse exists, because you often would find yourself, how can I do this? How can I do that? You think that it's a human approach that we need. But the word says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So God, to me, according to the word of God, he prepares anything that we want to do for God, to honor him, to serve him. And if you look at your own life, when you have trusted God to do something, you have known that God is, in fact, preparing everything that we need to do. A couple of days ago, I went down to the office where we are in the apartment, and the manager is a lady. And so I sat down with her, and I needed some information and so on. And I just had to step out and get a cigarette. I said, "What? You smoke? How can you do that? You're going to die." And so, well, I could kid around with her, and that's what I do. And she says, "Well, I don't do a lot of it. Four or five a day." I said, "It's still too many. Stop that nonsense." And I said, "You're going to die. I know where I'm going when I die. Do you?" My goodness, what a question to ask her. And so we got into this conversation that lasted for about a half an hour. I gave her part of my testimony, and we talked, and so God is starting to visit her in a special way. And I challenged her to read the Gospel of John. And she said, I will. I'm going to read it. I've never read the Bible in my life, but I'll read it. And there it is. That maybe next week I'll go by and say, well, how's it going? Have you read the Bible? Or perhaps have you cut down a little bit from 4 to 2? And I hope that we'll have many opportunities to speak together and to see how that God can really bring her to faith. First Peter 3:15. By the way, you may end up not having to worry about your pot roast burning today. You may get home in time to save it. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Isn't that clear? That we ought to be always prepared and ready to share the Lord Jesus Christ with someone. You can have all of the reasons in the world. You can say, well, I'm not like you. Well, I thank God you're not like me. But you are who you are. And you can trust Jesus as the guide of your life. If he can move mountains, if he can have Jesus walk on the water, all of the miracles that were made, and the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they couldn't enter into their brain what was going on. They still doubted. And I'm afraid that sometimes we doubt the power of God in our lives to go and reach to those that are going into a Christless eternity. We need to be attentive. We need to be surrendered. We need to be totally yielded to his lordship. And if you're not that, then you're struggling in your faith. I really believe that the message in Matthew to go and preach the gospel is for every Christian. Not those that are well educated, not those that are rich and debonair and, you know, but they're for all Christians. Everyone who has trusted Jesus is a representative of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors, each one of us. It could be to our community, our family, but we are indeed used of God to bring the gospel. If you have fears, then read Hebrews 11. If you've got some trouble with believing, 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think you can ask God to give you that kind of hope, that he will equip you to say something to someone about salvation, about Jesus Christ. And verse 6, one of my favorites. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think we've lost a lot of understanding of what the Word of God really says to us. Because if we, just this little group here were serious about sharing our faith, we could transform part of Montreal, maybe all of it, and within 1 year. If each one of us were to share Christ with someone once a month, even a little wee bit, because it's just planting the seed, and there are others who come along and reap the harvest. If each one of us were responsible, or at least committed to sharing Christ with others, we would see something. That's what happened out in out west some years ago, maybe 1980. The great revival out west is that everybody began to really pray and to reach out to the lost in our world. You're often required in your job or in your family or whatever it is that you're doing to go the extra mile, to do something that usually you wouldn't do. And a lot of us think it, well, it's something that I need to do. But if we were to apply the same reasoning to our spiritual life, we would find reasons for not doing certain things. And evangelism is the one that takes the hit. Oh boy, you are going to get home early. He has saved us. He has equipped us. He is promising us. He is helping us to mature in the areas of sharing our faith. That's what should be happening. That's where we begin to really understand the maturing aspect of the Christian life. But we have to make ourselves available. If you're going to hide in your corner and say, well, I'll just pray. Well, yeah, that's good. Let's pray. But be involved in the lives of people around you. The greatest thing that's happened to me, and I know a lot of people that I've spoken to, is to share Jesus with someone and to see the response. But the greater experience is when they respond and say, yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life. What a transformation. What a joy. And God uses us as the instrument of giving that message out. We're co-workers with God. He just happens to be the one who calls everything. In conclusion, I told you, your meal is not going to be cold. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your For I say, just a minute, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're having struggles with evangelism, sharing Christ with other people, then the word here says that you need to be transformed. You need to renew your mind. I remember there's a friend of my wife that came to see her, and I happened to be in the house, and she was really in bad shape. And my wife asked me, what would you say to this lady? Well, I'd say, it sounds to me like she needs to really get into the Word, but I'll give her two verses. Romans 12:1-2. Because she had to deal with issues in her life. And I told her, read these two verses at least 10 times. Try to understand what they're saying. Then apply it to your life. And a couple of months later, I think she phoned my wife or something and said, tell your husband that suggestion really helped me quite a bit. And I'm glad. You know, that's all I had that day, and that's what I gave, and that's what God used in her life. So look around you and truly believe that God loves you, first of all, and desires to use you. It's not just, here I go to church, and here I read my Bible, and here I do this or that, and I'm a nice little Christian. No. You've got to go beyond that. You've got to allow God to challenge you. You've got to, if you're having struggles with sharing Christ, ask God to give you someone. And this is where you're going to begin to understand that you can do a lot more than what you've been doing. Even myself, for a period of time there, I didn't say anything except praise God or God bless you or something like that. But I know that if I do my part, God will bless it. And we'll see transformation in people's lives around us. If God was able to reach me, He is able to reach anyone that we bring to His throne of grace. And I trust that you will allow yourself to be challenged of God and to share the gospel that saves lives, His gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've called us to minister the word and to share with people. And I pray, Father, that each one of us would be conscious and understanding of our Christian responsibility to believe the commands that you give to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to be used to transform the lives of many. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation you brought to our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.